Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and it is an honor to have you with us today. Hey, today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and products page. Click on the Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Leonard Lee Bushell. Did I say it correctly?
It's Leonard Lee Bushell. You got
Bushell.
It right.
All right. Leonard, good morning. Welcome. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
It is an honor and a privilege to have you. For the folks who may not necessarily know who you are, can you briefly introduce yourself to them?
Leonard Lee Bushell, born in the middle of the 20th century in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Somehow floated over the country and ended up in Los Angeles, where I run a recovery film festival, and I publish a weekly addiction recovery e-bulletin. You can see the text up there.
Yes.
And I spent the last 5 years writing down everything I could remember about my life in and out of recovery. Yes. Hopefully mostly in recovery.
Absolutely.
So that's when it gets really sweet.
Yes. So Leonard, tell listening audience the name of the book out there and where they can find it.
It's called High, Confessions of a Cannabis Addict.
Wow.
And you can get it on Amazon. You can order it from your local bookstore.
Yeah.
Just tell them the title, High, Confessions of a Cannabis Addict.
That is awesome. I love that title there.
And it's got lots of photographs. It's got photographs. It's funny. And it's serious all at the same time.
Yeah. Great, great photo of him on the cover as well. You'll love that as well.
You know, if I hadn't have become a drug dealer when I was younger, I would have become a photographer. So when I look back in all my photographs, it's always of other people.
Yes.
You know, I took pictures of all my friends a lot, but no one ever took a picture of me.
Yes.
So I had to resort to this, which was, you know, a 25-cent photo booth.
Wow.
Back then.
Great photo. I love it. I love it. So Leonard, as you know, Resilient Stories podcast really centers on bringing amazing people like yourself on and having you kind of talk us through one of your darkest moments. And I know that you were back in your days a drug dealer. And somehow you've overcame that, and you know, you're running a great film festival, you're doing books, you're doing speaking, you're doing a lot of great stuff. But take us back to the darkest moment in your life, man, when you were in that moment. Tell us about that.
The darkest moment of my life is written about in the book. Let me just say, what my darkest moment in my life was one morning in Los Angeles in 1987. I had been up all night snorting cocaine and drinking Heineken beer with a couple friends. About 5 a.m, my friend left and I was there with my roommate. And about 6 a.m, I couldn't breathe.
Wow.
My lungs shut down from an asthma attack, but mostly from the intense amount of cocaine and Heineken. I just couldn't breathe.
Wow.
I fell against my roommate's door. Luckily, he wasn't passed out yet. He saw me. I was blue. He called 911. I don't remember anything that happened after that. 3 days later, I'm laying in a hospital bed. In the meantime, what happened after I thought I died. Wow. I died. I was having a death experience that was the horriblest, most darkest, blackest thing I'd ever experienced, where I was literally dying, screaming in my mind, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, but knowing I was dying.
Yes.
I stopped breathing, I was dying. In my floating through the cosmos, I saw my son's DNA.
Wow.
And I thought, I gotta get back. I gotta get back.
Yeah.
My father died when I was 3 weeks old.
Wow.
Maybe that was one of the darkest days of my life, which I don't remember because I was 3 weeks old. And my father died suddenly. And here I was dying with my child, you know, 6 years old at the time. He was seven. And I fought to get back.
Yeah.
So when I came to, first thing I heard was my mother's voice. And my mother lived in Philadelphia, and I'm in Los Angeles, and I'm blind. I'm also blind.
Wow.
And I thought, maybe I did die, maybe my mother died, and I died, and I'm hearing her voice, and I'm blind. And then I hear some other voices, and then they take the tape off my eyelids. The doctors had taped down my eyelids because I had so much morphine and adrenaline in my body that my eyes wouldn't close.
Wow.
And you know, your eyes can get too dry and crack. So they had taped my eyes shut. So they took off the tape and I could see, and I could see my mother. Mm-hmm. In the room, and the nurses. I also remember they had had me on a ventilator.
Wow.
For a couple of days. So I remember my throat being really sore because, you know, the ventilator goes down into your lungs and it breathes for you. And they took that out, and I was, alive again. But the experience of dying was without doubt the darkest moment of my life.
Yeah.
that I'm conscious of.
Yeah. That is incredible, you know.
And what's also incredible that the idea of giving up drugs never occurred to me, even for a moment.
Wow.
My resolution was I'm going to stop drinking vodka and only drink gin.
Right.
Because I thought it was easier on the system.
Uh-huh.
A lot of distorted thinking because I had been taking drugs every day of my life since I was 18 years old.
Wow.
I never went a day without it. And eventually, when I quit after being in a rehab for a month, you know, I realized that I had been high. Of course, I got high once when I was 18.
Yeah.
For 26 years.
Wow.
I never went a day without getting high.
Wow.
Mostly weed and then cocaine for 13 years. That was also a dark moment when I realized I was doing coke even when I didn't want to.
Yeah.
And my definition of addiction is telling yourself you're not going to do something and doing it anyway.
Yes.
You know, because for 13 years, for 12 years, every time I did a line or a spoon of coke, I did it because I wanted to.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it and I did it. But in that 13th year, I'd wake up and say, I'm not doing any coke until after dinner tonight.
Right.
And right after lunch, I'd be doing it. And it was really scary to think, oh my God, you know, I'm not going to use the expression monkey on my back, but I have something that I don't want in my life and I can't break up with it. I can't leave it. It's not leaving me.
Yes.
But eventually I found out you could actually snort ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was just addicted to snorting white powders.
Uh-huh.
So I switched from coke to ecstasy.
Wow.
And that's really
that is
a complicated drug. I'm not putting it down, but it's complicated.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I appreciate your transparency and honesty on it. Hey, I want to take you back to that moment where you're almost died and you're in the hospital. I mean, people hear of individuals having a near death experience. Talk to us about what you were feeling when you're on your deathbed and you're hearing your mother's words and you're not sure if you're there. What were the feelings that were running through your body, man? What was going on emotionally?
Happiness, joy, elation, euphoria that I hadn't died, because I thought it was over.
Yeah,
I thought it was, I was gone.
Yeah,
and I didn't want to die, you know, at that age, with my son near, you know. It just, I felt thrilled. I felt, I was, you know, went from the craziest, most unpleasant, I can't say, dying doesn't make you unhappy. It makes you so afraid. You know, I understand why people are afraid of dying. And I know all the other near-death experience where there was a white light. For me, there was no white light. Maybe if there had been a white light, I would have let go, and I would have ended up in the grave. But it was just blackness and blacker, like I say, blacker than black, hurtling through space. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And then a couple of days later, when they took the tape off my eyelids and I could see my mother and realized I hadn't died, I thought, wow, I didn't die.
Yes.
I'm happy to be alive.
Yeah, what a blessing. Yeah,
you know, like I said, it didn't make me want to stop using. But when I did stop using, I tried to live every day like it's that day when I realized I didn't die.
Yeah,
because from the drug abuse that I experienced, you know, I could have died. I had bad asthma. I was used to being rushed to the hospital in ambulances because I couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I stopped breathing. So it wasn't like I was fighting for every breath. It was, I had no breath in me.
Yeah.
Like I said, look, and the doctor, when I came to, he said, if it had been 7 o'clock in the morning instead of 6 in the morning, you would have died in the ambulance because the traffic, it would take another 5 to 10 minutes to get here, and you didn't have another 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, 6 in the morning, the ambulance was able to get right there and literally save my life.
Wow. That's incredible to think about. Yeah, that's pretty, that's
emotional to think about how close I had to buying it, which makes me think, you know, every day now is super precious.
Yes. You know, Leonard, you know, again, man, that's an incredible story. So as you begin your journey to getting off drugs, did you have a mentor or someone there to kind of help you go through the process? Because, again, I watched it with my mother and father, and that's not an easy battle to overcome. But you were able to conquer it. Who were the people in your life that kind of were those stable figures to kind of help you make the transition?
I didn't make the transition until I checked into a rehab because I thought I was going to be arrested, and I was having a nervous breakdown from a bad breakup and having been doing ecstasy a couple times a week for a year. So my system was really racked. Like I said, I couldn't stop shaking. And from a series of very believable events, I thought I was going to get arrested.
Right.
I go into that in the book. I didn't have a mentor until I got out of the rehab. When I asked someone to be my sponsor, who said yes. He was he was from London, what they called a rude boy. I was in Northern California. He said, "I'll be my sponsor," and call him every day at 10 in the morning, which I did. And he just took me through the steps.
Right.
He was like my guide to this new world that I was completely unfamiliar with.
Right.
I never knew what it was like to go a day without a drink or a drug.
Yeah.
And here I was in this world that wasn't anything like my old world, because I lived in the drug world.
Yeah.
Every aspect of my existence had something to do with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Doing them, acquiring them, selling them, loving them. And that's how I thought everybody lived. So my friends, when I told them I was going to a rehab, they were surprised because they were drinking and using like I was.
Right.
But I just couldn't once I was shown the light.
Yeah.
I was literally shown the light by going a month without using drugs. I didn't think that was scientifically possible, to not drink or use something every single day.
Mm-hmm.
There I was, 28 days, and I thought, wow, I haven't gotten high for 28 days. It feels good. And I know it's more sustainable. It's a sustainable way to live.
Mm-hmm.
If I had gone back to my old ways, I would have been in jail or dead 100%. You know, I know that. Probably jail, and I would have died in jail.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not the toughest guy on the block, on the cell block.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, Leonard, when you think back on your darkest day, man, what kept you fighting to say, hey, you know what? Change has to take place in my life. What was it in that moment to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to make this change, man. What motivated you to take the leap and do something different?
Probably some of my readings and films I had seen of the great mythologist Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell wrote a book called The Hero's Journey.
Mm.
And the idea of being that simply by quitting using drugs and drinking, you become a hero.
Mm.
You go from, I'm not going to say victim, because you're doing it because you want to, in many cases, in my case.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a hero because you got out, you won the war.
Yeah.
You know, you got out, you survived, you won. And, you know, I've said, if I could get sober, anybody can quit.
Sure.
Anybody. I know trauma and there's other complications to your mind, but that was my life for 26 years.
Yeah.
That's why I think sometimes it's easier for younger people to quit because their brain circuitry isn't 100% involved.
Sure.
It's like the first time I went to New York after I got clean and sober, you know, I walked past the tavern and I thought, there's no way I would ever walk past a bar and not go in just for a shot of something to relax, because New York is so intense. You walk into a bar and it's quiet and it's dark. And I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go in there. I'm thinking, what do I do now?
Yeah.
You know, some people say, go have a piece of chocolate cake.
Yeah.
That'll take care of you for a little while. You know, but that doesn't work forever either. The point is, I'd never been in New York without going into bars and drinking for you know, a thousand different reasons. And now I couldn't do that. I could go to a meeting.
Sure.
So I did go to a meeting, and that was just as interesting.
Yes.
You know, it's about, I'm lucky because I like humankind.
Uh-huh.
You know, not in every state of the union, but in many states.
Yeah.
I like people. I like people, and I like hearing people's stories, and what you shared with me before we got started is fascinating. It's better than any, you know, Broadway play. It's like real life, and it's nothing you would plan, but once you've lived through it, you can be proud of your transition, of your, you know, evolution, you know, as a human being, to wake up, to be conscious, you know. And I also say that anybody can write a memoir.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just takes, you know, like the great actor Joey Pantoliano from The Sopranos and other things. He says, I wrote a book, I wrote it a page a day.
Yeah.
But after 300 days, I realized I had a 300-page book.
Absolutely.
You know, it's another one of those cliches, one day at a time, one page at a time, one story at a time, one remembrance at a time. And it came out really good. I'm so proud of this book. I can't even describe how proud I am.
That's awesome. I'm sure it's been awesome.
This
sure.
out.
A lot of folks.
And it, came out better than I thought. And I wrote it by hand. I wrote it by hand. Had a friend type it up, you know, edited it myself, actually with a friend, did some editing. Here's a picture of me.
Great photos, yeah.
It's when I was 20 years old, There was no hashish in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And there was no hashish in New York City. And no, I couldn't get any hashish, and I couldn't live without it. So a friend and I flew to Israel because we knew Israel's right next to Lebanon. And Lebanon was making some really great red Lebanese hash at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, we got to go to Israel, you know, from Philadelphia, because we can't not get high.
Yeah.
So we risked our freedom by smuggling it back in through Kennedy Airport.
Wow.
In our pants, in these girdles we had bought, because we couldn't go without getting high.
Wow. That's so absolutely incredible. I can't wait for people to, you got to get that book out there and read it so you can hear more about that story. I got a question for you, though. You know, as you look back over your journey, how would you say that this whole ordeal has kind of shaped you as a person and made you who you are today? How did this all shape and make you who you are today?
How's the experience of having been there and lived through it?
Yeah.
And shaped come back. Are.
Yes.
I don't take eating for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to have a meal.
Yeah.
I don't take having a floor under my feet and a roof
sure.
over my head for granted.
Yeah.
I don't take, trees for granted.
Yeah.
I have an incredible dog over there. I don't take her for granted.
Yes.
I guess it's trying to allow in as much of beauty. Beauty, when you see somebody or something beautiful, mm-hmm. that's, beauty is next to godliness.
Yes.
Creativity, just living, having a conversation
yeah.
with you, is like two human beings connecting. Even if it's only for 35 minutes, it's like we're connecting.
Yes.
Every time I walk, I'm a little bit amazed, because I'm not telling my legs to move. I'm just saying, let's walk.
Yeah.
And the legs start moving.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, that's a miracle.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
It's like, I know the heart is always beating and I don't have to tell it beat, beat, beat. There's organs that, there's systems in the body that you have to exercise, and other ones like your heart that you don't. But walking is an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. So
a lot of things we take for granted out there.
I love reading. I love reading books. So hopefully someone who reads or doesn't read will pick this up. It's funny. I can't say it's a comedy, but it is humorous.
Yes.
It's very funny, because life is pretty absurd.
Yeah.
Even before this invasion of Ukraine happened, from having seen the news, and because I publish a newsletter, I'm a news junkie. That junkieism, unfortunately, I have not given up.
Yeah.
It can't kill me. It can just make me depressed and angry.
Sure.
When you read about what's going on in the world. I'm just glad my village of Studio City isn't being attacked today.
Sure.
It's like, I'm not afraid to walk down the street. So I'm glad, I'm happy. The luck of birth, it fascinates me. When I was watching the Queen's funeral and you see the prince and that somebody who's a king, he didn't do anything to become a king.
Mm-hmm.
Other than two people had sex and his little, embryo is in this family, so he's a king because of who he was born to.
Yeah.
And conversely, other people are born into poverty.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre how, destiny, fate, I'm always wondering, what part does destiny and fate have in the opiate overdose epidemic?
Yeah.
That's so horrible. It wasn't all just greed. It wasn't the greed of the pharmaceutical companies who filled this country with dangerous addictive narcotics
sure.
and lied about it the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like, what Why do some people make it and some people don't?
Yeah.
These are the mysteries that I think about, but I don't let them drive me crazy.
And that's the whole purpose of this show. We want to bring on people who did make it and to let them know that they can make it. So, Leonard, you know, as we're going to wrap things up, I have a question for you as well. You know, we have a lot of folks out there who are probably coming out of situations off this last 2 years that have been very tough for many people. They've lost finances, lost jobs, lost loved ones. And even in some situations, they've lost hope. What words of advice can you give the folks out there listening to let them know that a brighter day is going to come?
It sounds like a book, but the sun always rises, okay? There is some continuity. I don't know. Because you have more courage in you than you know.
Yeah.
You know, you, deep down inside, the life force is stronger than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Little by little. Stop drinking Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Stop eating fast food. You know, appreciate nature. Whenever you have a moment to just appreciate nature, appreciate how your body is doing so many magical, amazing chemical reactions right now that give you eyesight. Eyesight, what a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Every moment that you're alive is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one day of life is greater than all the treasures in the world.
Yes.
Appreciate life itself. Maybe life is God. Maybe love is God.
Yeah.
Just, and if no one loves you, you love them.
Yeah.
You know, just the experience of love, being loved or loving, I think is equal. So just love yourself first and foremost, no matter what.
Yeah.
Great. Everyone is beautiful in the eyes of God.
Absolutely. Great advice. And that's something that, you know, oftentimes people don't hear, that we are all beautiful in the sight of our Creator. So that's very, very important. So folks, if you're out there, you're talking about an overcomer, a person who's gone from his deathbed to now, you know, having a major film festival in the city of LA, writing books, writing newspapers. So you can do it. No matter what you're going through out there, you can definitely do it. And as we get to wrap things up here, I want to say this here. And ask this final question here. You know, Leonard, our show focuses on two things, resiliency and purpose. What last words can you leave our audience with around resiliency and purpose?
My sensei, a gentleman named Michio Kushi, who I've studied with for many years, the purpose of life, and I was thinking about it this morning because I was standing doing my morning bowing to the sun, because I love the sun. I'm mm-hmm. a big fan of the sun. Boy, what work that does every day.
Uh-huh.
The purpose of life is to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think God wants us to be happy and to play.
Yeah.
So I want to satisfy his desire for me, or its desire for me, by playing, by whatever, when you're working, you're playing.
Sure.
You know, whether you're sweeping the street or you're you know, a shoemaker, it's got to be, and I'm not saying fun, it just has to be enjoy. You know, there's that old song, you know, if you can't be with the loved one you love, love the one you're with.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't be doing what you love, love what you're doing. That's how. And get a good night's sleep. I hear that's important.
Yeah.
Get a good night's sleep. Be happy with silence once in a while. You know, I was recently thrown off Facebook, and I'm thinking, it's God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how spiritual I feel when I'm looking down at Instagram,
yeah.
which they also threw me off of. You know, it's the simple things. Enjoy the simple things. And books you can get at a library. They don't cost any money at all. You'll never be bored with a good book.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that bookcase you have behind you. Lots of good books. Folks
I like
out there,
yours too.
hey, thank you. Folks,
Like
I
yours
hope you
too.
guys have been very, very motivated by a great story of Leonard Lee Bushell. Get his book, Hi. Where can they find the book at again?
Amazon.com. And
Amazon.com.
if you're a Prime member of Amazon, if you order today, you'll probably have it by tonight.
That's
They're
awesome.
so amazing. If you're in a big city, like
Yes,
I am. And then
yes.
you're in a big city too. That's still a big city, Tommy, right?
Absolutely.
And go to your bookstore. I think you can go to a library. The distributor is in Hi, Confessions of a Cannabis Addict.
Pick that
It's
book up.
the only
Great.
book on the market with that title.
Yes, I love it. And if people want to follow you, it sounds like you've been booted off a lot of your social media. Is there any social media that you're actually on where the people can catch you at? Like, no, maybe. You have a
I know most people,
website.
you can find me here, you can find me there. Addiction Recovery eBulletin.org, the
Okay.
website.
Okay, great.
You can reach me there.
Great.
LeonardBushell.com. You can reach me there.
Awesome. Folks, I want you to reach out to him. Great guy. You're talking about a person who's been there, done that, symbolizes resiliency in many, many ways. Hey, we want to thank you very much for being on the show with us today here. We really appreciate you. Hey, folks, if you're someone out there, you're an overcomer, we want to hear from you. Please go to TAWatson.com, share your story with us, subscribe to our podcast, share with your folks out there. And everyone, God bless. Peace.
Yours
See
truly,
you soon.
Dr. Watson.
My